Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our reading today is from the prophet Zechariah, and it is poetic. Much Hebrew poetry uses parallel imagery, and the nice thing about that is you can translate that parallelism into any language because it doesn't rely on how the words sound or how the ends of the words rhyme. Our text comes after God has brought about a new order with no marching armies, and traditional enemies are now able to live in Judah in peace. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 10.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem! Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall also be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion is from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
This ends our reading from Zechariah. And now we move to the Gospel according to John, drawing on chapters 9, 10, 11, 12, and 18.
So who are you on Palm Sunday anyway? I mean, we did show up for church and stuff today, and most of us probably thought about what we'd put on and who we were going to see and what we were going to do. But in this case today, the Gospels invite each one of us to explore the identity of Jesus Christ as well. We do this by opening ourselves up to his example, his miracles, his own teachings about himself. And of those, one of the questions that Jesus repeatedly challenges is both traditional, ancient, as well as modern. With all of his disciples, he challenged them with the question, who do you say he is? Who do you say that I am? So today is an opportunity to find out ourselves at the end of our journeys through the period of Lent. And we're about to be ushered into the Holy Week now. The church follows John's gospel lead in naming today's celebration of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem Palm Sunday. The occurrence of Jesus' entry on Sunday and the waving of all the palm branches are mentioned only in the book of John. The crowd that cheeringly greeted him that day did so with, "Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of Yahweh!" And many of the people in the crowd believed him to be their national hero, their king, a healer. They saw him many different ways. So in this particular case, they gave him a royal welcome. But there were still others who were very confused about the whole process. They weren't sure that the festivities were such a great idea. They still weren't sure who exactly Jesus was or who he was intending to be. They weren't sure about their relationships with him. And so some of them stood in fear as they watched the crowds of people that followed him, and the crowds got bigger, and that can also be a source of fear. But today we're thinking that most of the people who were following that day had one thing in common. They probably misunderstood the nature and purposes of Jesus' power. And that's why he kept asking, "Who do you say that I am?" So as we experience Jesus' triumphal entry, or our perception of Jesus' entry for today, And as we look through a scripture-based bit of reading and narrative this morning, think about who out of the characters presented to you this morning are you most like? Out of all the possible people who were standing along the palm-strewn path more than 2,000 years ago, with whom of those characters might you most closely relate? Who is he on Palm Sunday? Who am I on Palm Sunday? Who are we as a group? You are given a few minutes to think about that.
This is infuriating. Ever since he healed that man born blind and raised Lazarus from the dead, the world has gone after him. He deserves to be stoned. He claims he is equal with God, saying he was before Abraham. All that blasphemy. As we discussed in the council, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. I told them, "Don't you understand that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation shouldn't perish?" Today's scene confirms it. We can't delay any longer. He must be destroyed.
I don't know what to make of all of this. Our political leaders have vowed to kill our teacher, and I don't know why he's putting himself in danger. He's come here to the Passover feast with all this tension and all these crowds. I told the rest of the group who travels with him that if he insists on leaving seclusion and going to the feast, let us go with him, that we may die with him. I've cast my lot with him, and I'm going to stick it out. But I'm pessimistic about what's really going to happen before this week is over.
Oh, how exciting to wave these branches and sing our pilgrim psalm together. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. Jesus always seems to love us children. How I'd like to ride with him on that donkey all the way into the city. I wonder what it means to be crowned the King of Israel. Will Jesus move into the palace? My parents are so excited, they're even letting us children shout and sing.
How utterly blasphemous, singing Hosanna, save us please, to this deceiver. Our Messiah will drive out our oppressors. This liar sits peacefully on a donkey, and yet, ever since that Lazarus incident, we've been powerless. As I said to the other leaders, you can see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.
What is going on with these Jews? We don't understand all their customs, but surely we'll learn something by coming to the annual festival that seems to mean more to them than any other. It has something to do with a sacrificial lamb. Actually, we came to investigate who this man is, this miracle worker everyone is talking about. This Jesus talks about having other sheep that are not of this fold. We went to the Galilean Philip and begged him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." He and another disciple named Andrew told Jesus this, but Jesus responded, response was strange. He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Humanity to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus stopped to pray, finally, standing right in the middle of the crowd. We were at the edge. He said, "Father, glorify your name." I heard something like a roar of majestic thunder from heaven, and then Jesus spoke, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the rulers of this world be cast out, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. We don't understand what he meant, but maybe he'll learn as we follow him into Jerusalem for this Passover week.
What was that thunder we heard the other day? What was our peaceful teacher talking about? Is he going to drive out the ruler of this world or not? On a donkey like the king in Zechariah? I'm tired of all this heavenly talk. I want action. Let him prove himself one way or another, I say. I'm not going to shuffle around behind him any longer. Now or never, I'll help them make him to do something.
Oh, dear God, at last the people are proclaiming him to be our Messiah. I felt in my bones every time I've been near him these last 3 amazing years of our lives. He's come and gone from our home in Bethany. We were so privileged to give him that hospitality. And when he didn't come, when our brother Lazarus was so ill, Martha and I couldn't believe our most loving friend wouldn't come and do for us what he did for strangers. When he finally did arrive, 4 days after the funeral, I hardly knew how to speak to him. I was numb from Lazarus' death and numb from Jesus' strange insensitivity, too. I was confused when he asked us to still believe, and he called himself the resurrection. We were horrified to be asked to open the tomb, to have to smell our brother. Jesus looked so longingly at Martha and me and said, "Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God?" And then he called my brother forth, and Lazarus came out alive. Now it's been weeks, and Lazarus has gone on living. I touch Lazarus, and I'm overcome by joy and overflowing praise for this one who can bring back the dead. The people are amazed. They come just to see Lazarus, a living proof of Jesus' ability to give victory even over death. Still, I find fear in my heart, for my brother's resurrection has stirred up so much attention that the Pharisees can't hear such evidence. They threaten to kill Lazarus along with Jesus. I am so afraid. Something Jesus said at our supper for him last week put terror in my heart. When I anointed his feet and Judas was so indignant, Jesus defended me. "Let her alone," he said. "Let her keep it for the day of my burial." Burial? If they kill Jesus, our hope will be extinguished. And even if they don't kill my brother now, Lazarus will someday have to die, and it would be final without Jesus here to heal him. Oh, what does it all mean? Jesus calling himself the resurrection.
I miss that day he turned the temple upside down. How I'd love to have seen that, those money changers scrambling. We'll get quite a show this week. If today's any indication, last time he was around, that case of a man born blind stirred up the whole town. I used to throw pennies, and the man who couldn't see now sees. Same person? But it can't be. Sometimes you can't even believe your own eyes. Blind fools. I won't be easily taken this time.
Oh, dear Jesus, how much we have come to love you over these years together, for how much you have loved us. What light you have brought to our lives. What is to happen to you now? Over and over, you keep speaking of departure, of death. We've seen your glory displayed before our very eyes. When Peter and James and I were with you on the mountain on that glorious day a year ago, you were transfigured before us, standing there talking with long-dead Moses and Elijah alive? So strange it was. We said to each other that in such glory you spoke of your departure, which you were to accomplish in Jerusalem. I fear that your departure may now be at hand. You keep warning these people who do not know you as well as we do. The light is with you for a little longer. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become children of the light. I must remember every word you say, for I fear these are becoming your last words to the world. There you stand, even now, calling out with such pathos to the crowd, as if it were your last plea to them. The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whosoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me doesn't receive my sayings as a judge. The word that I have spoken will be that person's judge on the last day.
So on this fateful day we call Palm Sunday, we have been given this morning 9 different points of view about who Jesus could be. So who do you say he is? Who do I say Jesus is? We're probably not going to agree, but it would be best if each of us could stand in our own integrity in this moment and answer this question for ourselves honestly anyhow, even if we aren't going to agree on the answer. Maybe there's a Caiaphas among us, a Christian leader who fears what kinds of social consequences may befall any religious community, ours or another's, if we are to totally follow this Nazarene as an actual equal with God. Is there maybe a disciple amongst us, one who calls Jesus teacher, but yet is afraid of getting into trouble with the crowd or in trouble with some kind of religious leadership? Is there a child among us, or maybe someone quite young at heart, who loves the excitement which Jesus can generate for us, especially on fun Sundays like this one, and they're just eager for connections with a king and a golden palace and princesses and beautiful visions? Maybe there is a Pharisee among us, one who thinks that real messianic authenticity demands a politically effective deliverer, not some questionably effective prince of peace as our Messiah. Maybe there's even someone who's kind of like a Greek from back in those days, someone who's maybe uninstructed, maybe an outsider. They're attracted to miracles and really good miraculous stories. They're open and considering the identity of a strange miracle worker who speaks of death as if it's a grain of wheat and likes to talk about symbols. Or there could be a Judas among us, one who has been misinterpreted throughout time, one who is tired of what seems like too much heavenly talk and is really more interested in visible political action in terms of being measurable proof of authentic messiahship. And there are plenty of Marys of Bethany in this world, those who stand in awe of Jesus, thrilled with his friendship and convinced by his miraculous interventions in our life experiences. And there are certainly plenty of people around us who may be here this morning who are bored by all the commotion. They're skeptical of the whole thing, skeptical of pieces and parts, and who are unwilling to try to understand experiences on a deeper level. There may be another disciple among us who has glimpsed something of the glorified Jesus and is longing to keep living in Jesus' light. But maybe you aren't any of those. And this morning we still ask ourselves, who is this Jesus? Who are you? Who do you want to be? This morning, you've been given a few minutes to think about the question, but you haven't really been given a whole lot of time for your own thoughts and your own needs. And we're going to give that to you now, actually. It's a small gift on Palm Sunday. So please feel open to thinking about reflections, how they can be accurate or distorted. Think deeply about the core of Jesus' identity. Which aspect of Jesus do you need in your life right now? Which aspect of Jesus are you carrying around within you? Which aspect of Jesus are you needing to draw on this Sunday? Who am I? Who are you? Who do we say, any of us, who he is? Within 5 days, Jesus walked the triumphal entry road a second time. But this time, he was carrying his own cross. He was headed to Calvary, which was the site of his sacrifice. In our music this morning, we have covered all kinds of gamuts between joyful, worried, contemplative. And those are gifts also this morning, that we might all prayerfully consider how Christ is in our life today.